4 CPA Mobile.
Degrees and 11 mile an hour wind from the northeast. Are you telling me you've been playing tennis in that? In 0 CR.
Negative, Ghost Rider. I have been playing with my grandsons.
You're telling your age now, Dave.
I'm from Top Gun, so if I'm telling my age, I guess I'm telling my age. Anyway, so they asked for a flyby, and they say, negative, Ghost Rider, the pattern is full.
That would have been the end of his flying days.
I'm sure they did a lot of things that he would have lost his wings over. But it was a good movie. I think I watched it about 100 times before I actually got tired of it.
I just hate to see the part where that one guy loses his life, but fighter pilots are aggressive, and that's just the way it ends up at times. They have accidents out there in the red flag out there in the desert at times.
Well, so is 10,000 feet normally the hard deck on a training mission like that, or do they just set it wherever they want to?
Out of my realm, because I never was in a fighter aircraft, so I'd be speaking out of turn. I would say they just set it. Our minimums were 300 feet at night and 100 feet in the daytime for anti-submarine warfare operations. And I gotta tell you, 300 feet at night, if there's a moon out and you can see that water, it's mighty close.
I'll say, that's low. And what were you flying?
It's a crew member in the S2DNE. It's a Grumman two-engine, 1825 cubic inch, 1550 horsepower engines. And there was four of us, and I could see out the front cockpit just by leaning out and looking forward. And I was a sensor operator. And then the same applied with the P-3 Orions. And it was like you was hot rodding, because when you were down working a submarine over the water, depended on what weapons you were using, there was a lot of positives. You flew around a pattern of buoys. Like if you was looking at a dice and there was the number 5 on it, depending on the weapons, for example, Julie, if you flew in on buoy 1, you might bomb 1, listen 3, or bomb 5, listen 2. And so you were twisting and turning normally in a cloverleaf pattern. But you also had a boom sticking out the back that was magnetic, magnetic anomaly detection, or MAD gear. And the closer you got to the water, the more chances of detection. And of course, there was overzealous pilots at times.
I can't remember which lake it was, but I heard some around here somewhere, some pilots were showing off to some girls that were sunbathing, and they weren't paying attention, and they wound up ditching their plane in the lake. I don't know if that's a true story or not, somewhere around here.
Mission is restricted to 1,000 feet above ground level, above the highest object. So if there's a 1,000-foot radio tower out there, for example, or TV tower, you have to be at 2,000 feet by the law.
Does that go for military planes?
Yeah, and if they're flying in a general aviation area, absolutely. Time of war, of course not, but it definitely is. If you're flying military aircraft, like when you're flying in, GSP and places like that, they've that's open transmissions over the regular frequencies that they normally use, and you can listen to it.
Right. Hang on just a second. My wife called and then she hung up. I guess I'll have to call her back to see what she wants. Hang on just a minute. KB4CPA.
Sure. N0TR.
N0TR, KB4CPA.
Took a bite of apple and dipped it in the caramel. There's a gentleman on here recently, and I think it's KO4. What'd you say, Bernice? Yeah, LOA, I think it is. Lima Oscar Alpha. He flew DC-10 tankers, and he flew KC-135s. And he's extremely knowledgeable. I wasn't a pilot, so a lot of those things I can't comment on. I just know what our guys did when I was in there, and I could see it. But there was actually a guy that was flying a B-52 testing for Boeing, and he rolled a B-52 right across from the terminal.
Well, I heard you talking with someone today. Is that who you're talking about?
A little while today, and like I said, he's very enjoyable. He was stationed in Wichita, and so I worked there for a little while, and I used to go out there and spend a week with my aunt and uncle in the summers when I was very young, back in the late 50s, I guess it would have been. And the sky was just full of B-47s and B-52s at the time during the Cold War. They were building them as fast as they could. And he was stationed there at McConnell Air Force Base. By the way, I read today where Bombardier is shutting down Learjet. I worked there in 1966, I guess, for a couple of months before I joined the service when I first got out of high school. And they've been in business, I think, 56 years, if that adds up right, or something like that. And they're mainly going to concentrate on larger business jets. Bombardier's a big aircraft company. I think they're in Canada, Dave.
Never heard of them. I've got a friend of mine, a buddy of mine that works out at Donaldson. I can't remember which aircraft company's out there, but he's been an aircraft mechanic all his life, airplane mechanic, and he loves those diesel engines. He bought this milk truck or something and it had a diesel engine in it and took it out and put it in his pickup truck. And he just loves it. But he's a good mechanic, that's for sure.
N0TR. Well, he probably took one out of a ground power unit, I would think, or a tug. And I went to school on those one time for a week. I don't know why, but I did. But they put out a good deal of amperage to start those old reciprocating engines. So I don't know which one he took the diesel out of.
Sitting in the cockpit of a C-141, Charleston had been grounded and enlisted man was sitting beside me, and he said, I'd start this thing up for you if it was hooked up to an APU. And I said, oh man, no. I said, don't do that.
The only time I've been on a 141 wasn't very pleasant, when I was medevac and flew back to the States for, two or three surgeries. I don't know. It's been too many years ago. But, I was in a litter. But I actually was ambulatory. I could walk. But I went on to sit down in a seat. But those things are humongous. They really are.
When I lived in Charleston, we were down there. I was at a church down there for 2.5 years, and we lived on James Island, and we'd drive to North Charleston, and it was about, depending on traffic, it could take you up to 30 minutes to get, we'd go up to Sam's Wholesale in North Charleston then, and I don't know where it is now, but this is back in the 80s, late 80s, and we'd see the bad C-130s and C-141s at the air base there, and you'd be riding up 26, and all of a sudden you'd see one come over the tops of the trees, and it just looked like they were just barely moving. I mean, those things were so big, and just, God, it was an awesome sight. I still enjoy that. Now they have, I think they have the C-17s there. So, I'm sure that's a sight to behold too.
Yeah, well, the C-17 can lift a lot more than a C-130. But the C-130s are still being retrofitted some, and will be around a while. But they are a huge plane. I've been on a C-5 up at Oshkosh at the air show. It's just unbelievable. Got to go up a ladder to go to the cockpit after you go inside. And then I went down to the GSP there when they landed the Antonov, the Russian giant plane down there. And I met the flight crew for a few minutes, and I watched them offload a little bit, Bernice and I. And it's one of the largest in the world. I think they might have another model that might be just a teeny bit bigger, but not much. It's just amazing, because when they land, they're running probably 140 to 160, maybe even a little faster because they're so heavy, over a million pounds, some of the bigger aircraft. And they look like they're standing still. That 747 that comes in and out of GSP all the time, I think there's a fleet of them. They just look like they're going to fall out of the sky.
Or CPA. Yeah, I know what you mean. It just looks like they're just not going fast enough to get any lift. Oh, me. Well, I'm in the garage, so I'm gonna say adios and go inside. And I think I'll put my feet up, because I got up about 4 this morning, and I'm starting to get a little bit tired. But you have a good evening, and I hope you have a good night's rest and a good day tomorrow. Good to talk to you, as always, Tom. And I'll stick around for your final N0TRK. This is KB4CBA.
Same here, Dave. Always enjoy visiting with you. Can't wait you can come up here and spend a little time with us. Talked to Steve earlier. Oh, and by the way, they're building the F-16s down there now. Quite a lot of them at Donelson. And I've never been down around it, I don't think at all. Maybe once, but I never could find a place, a good viewing place. You have to run me in there sometime. But if the weather gets better, we'll go down there and see see what's going on. There ought to be some of those flying around with test pilots before long, I would think. You need to be outside because they're gone pretty quick. You take care. And you need more rest. KB4 CBA N0TR 73. I'm clear. QRT.